Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, Scott has inside jokes with people he's never even met.
Welcome back. Joining us now in the Say Tama Hotline, he was the head coach at Georgia for 15 years, Miami for three. He's now a TV analyst, does a really good job. Coach Mark Richt, welcome back to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Scott, how you doing?
Buddy, I'm not doing as good as Lincoln Riley or Brian Kelly. They're doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's gone berserk again.
Let me ask you this, Coach. When you became the offensive coordinator at East Carolina in 1989, how much did you get paid?
I believe I made $50,000.
Wow. Well, how things have changed. I know that's not head coaching even back then, but still, goodness gracious, Coach, these guys are getting $15 million a year. I mean, in your wildest dream, did you ever think people in your profession could make that kind of money?
No, I never thought it would be that much. When I was head coach, we were making stupid money at that time as well. So now it's even more stupider.
We're joined by Mark Richt. Coach, we got, you know, Bob Stoops going to run things at Oklahoma until they figure out what direction they're going in. He's a veteran coach. He's won national titles, have had a lot of success, and he knows the fundamentals of the program. But what are some of the main challenges for an interim coach trying to get a team prepped for a bowl game?
Well, you're not only working on the bowl, you're also worried about trying to keep everything together. Now is the time of the year, unfortunately, when coaches start looking, assistant coaches start getting poached, current players on your roster are looking at other places, especially if there's a coaching change, trying to figure out who the new coach is, deciding to get in the transfer portal. I mean, there's so many things going on besides just getting ready for a bowl game or, you know, some kind of championship game. So it's a lot to work with, and you're – not even the guy who truly has all the authority that a normal head coach would have. So it's very difficult to do. But usually, like in the case of Virginia Tech, with Coach Price, a former Virginia Tech player, a guy that loves the program, that people understand that about him. Odell Higgins at Florida State, I think a couple times, was interim head coach, or, you know, while they're looking for the, you know, the real coach. So, you know, I think those have the best shot of being successful, and Coach Stoops has got a lot of credibility with everybody, so I'm sure he'll handle it well.
Did you see any of this coming? I know you're a little more wired into it than the rest of us. Did you have any inkling that Brian Kelly might go to LSU and Lincoln Riley might go to Southern Cal?
No, I mean, you couldn't really predict anything like that. You know, now that it's happened, I could see why it's happened. Unless you sit in the chair of being head coach, you really don't know all the challenges at any given university or just the position itself. And so, you know, decisions are made that are sometimes people shake their heads. But, you know, like I know as an assistant coach, Coach Bowden would make a decision here or there, and I'd be like, I don't know about that one. And then you become head coach and you start making those decisions that only you have. You know, certain privy to certain information, it makes more sense once you become head coach.
I'm wondering how they could have handled it better, though, with regards to addressing the team. I mean, I don't believe that you were ever in a situation where you had to address your team, that you were going somewhere else to take another job. But is there a right way to do it? Is there a wrong way to do it? Brian Kelly kind of got caught off guard. The news leaked out while he wasn't in town, so he sent a text message apologizing, meeting with the team today. Is that about the best you can do to just get them together as soon as you can and say, I'm sorry, I had a good time, see you guys later?
Well, it is difficult. Like at Georgia, for example, I got let go, and everybody knew it, and the team knew it, and we were able to have a team meeting and talk about it, and I got a chance to hug just about every guy on the team to say goodbye. Where on the other hand, in Miami, when I decided to make the decision, everybody was on break. Everybody was on Christmas break. The bowl had just ended. I'd gotten to the point where I felt like I needed to retire from coaching. And it was an unplanned event for me. I didn't wait. I didn't know 2 months in advance I was going to do that. It just happened. And so everybody's on break, and I figure whenever he gets back in town, I would talk to the team. But by then, Miami had moved so quickly to hire Manny Diaz. He was already the head coach by the time they all got back in town, and he offered me the ability to say goodbye to the fellows. But by then, it was time for him to establish his time in Miami. So I backed away and had to, you know, talk to the guys by social media, which was weak, but I really didn't have a choice.
We're joined by Mark Rick. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Rick. And Coach, one of the bigger questions I had for you is I'm wondering how this sways the college football playoff selection committee. Oklahoma not in the mix, Southern Cal not in the mix, neither is LSU, but Notre Dame has a shot at making the playoffs. And if Luke Fickell were to take the job, well, Cincinnati might get impacted by this. What are you expecting?
Well, I hope for the sake of the players it doesn't affect their opportunity to play in the championship. That's number one. There is never a good time to make coaching changes, but it tends to happen like right now. Like I mentioned early on, it's just it's not ideal for anybody. You'd wish the season could end and there'd be a real civilized way of doing it. But the bottom line is if you're going to make a move, you tend to make it sometime between the end of the season, regular season, and the playoff and the bowl time. So there's a lot of interim head coaches at bowl games, and it could happen, as you mentioned, in the playoffs. So for the players' sake, I hope they don't get hurt by the fact that a coach might be leaving their program.
This much movement, I guess maybe the timing of this movement would be a better way to put it. The timing of this movement, could this be the biggest drawback to having that early signing period for recruiting?
It is. I mean, it is such a difficult time. If you're the head coach, you're dealing with and I'm saying if you're not leaving, but you're at your school, you've got assistant coaches that are looking for jobs because people are trying to poach them. You got your own players that might be looking to move on. You got your draft eligible players that you're trying to talk to about possibly staying for their senior year and things of that nature. And then all of a sudden you throw a signing date right in the heart of it. It makes everything crazy. And I think nowadays it forces athletic directors and university presidents, if they're going to make a move mid-season to try to be in position to have not lose all your recruits in that first signing period. So very difficult. And it's tough on the recruits too. All these kids have made a bunch of decisions and commitments, and all of a sudden their coach leaves. Or a new coach comes in and they're like, what's this guy all about? So very difficult to even want to sign on that signing date unless everything's stable.
He was two-time SEC Coach of the Year. He's 2017 ACC Coach of the Year. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Rick. Coach, buddy, appreciate you hopping on short notice this morning, man. Have a good day, bud.
All right, have a good day. We'll see you.
All righty, it's Coach Mark Rick.